The great Bobby Belt.
I just want to say, yo, Bobby.
Yeah, I know.
You going to make it to work on time this week?
Yeah.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Hand off to Singletary. He's going to be thrown for a loss. Wow. Mazi Smith at the point of attack drove him back.
What's still broken about the Dallas Cowboys after that victory last night against the New York Giants? More on that in just a second. First, I'm going to follow through on a promise. How I said I can nickname the Cowboys players better than Dak Prescott did. Big fan of Dak Prescott. I don't want him nicknaming players. I don't like the three that he's come up with so far. Kalen Carson, he's calling him Seatbelt. Hunter Lipke is Fiasco, apparently, because Lupe Fiasco, Lipke Fiasco, which that feels like a big stretch to me. And then Brandon Aubrey is just butter. Like, he's smooth like butter. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't work for me. It's not as bad as Full Count Carter. That's the worst one that we have in the entire Metroplex. That is the worst nickname. But these are not good. So I've got a couple different ones. Kalen Carson. So he is Seatbelt to Dak Prescott. I am going to nickname him Kalen Arson because he burns down the defense.
You know, that's a good one. I'd have gone with... I think his name, his nickname should be Two-Step.
Two-Step?
Because he's two steps behind everybody else.
That's pretty good, too. All right, Hunter Lipke.
Oh, this is an easy one for me.
Hit me with yours.
Laptop.
Laptop?
Why? Hunter with a laptop.
Oh, that's pretty good. Thank you. I like that. So I look at it, and whenever I see him play, he is such a utility man. He is a true, genuine football guy. And so when I think of him, like, the phrase that comes to mind with me is just like, man, I love football. And so the acronym for that, I'm going to call him MILF Hunter Lipke is his nickname.
Oh,
there.
MILF okay. Hunter Lipke.
Yeah, because he's just a football guy. Man, I love football. And then Brandon Aubrey. Brandon Aubrey's nickname is Butter for Dak. I'm calling him the Red Scare. You know what the Red Scare is, Chop?
The Red Scare.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was the fear of communism in the 50s, perpetrated by McCarthyism. And there's nothing more McCarthy than kicking field goals nonstop. So Brandon Aubrey is like the definition of McCarthyism.
I thought he was talking about the Falcons logo.
Yeah, the Falcons logo designed by Colonel von Stauffenberg. The Falcons logo is going to invade Poland by the end of the week. I don't know what the hell they're doing. This is another example of Sean and RJ just needing to have a PR firm.
Yes.
Because nobody can look at that new Falcons logo and think it is out of anything other than 1930s Germany. That is as bad as... It's awful, man. I mean, they went so minimalist on it. They really did. And, I mean, I don't know what I was looking at. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe... Because I first saw the headline, I was like, man, like they're like people are killing the Falcons logo. I'm like, all right, let me take a look at this thing. No. Did you see it, Bobby?
No, I'm pulling it up right now.
You know, they post a new profile pic, and it just looks so, it's so like World War II.
Yeah, I mean, it may be a
little. I honestly, for this one, would not have thought of that.
No, I didn't.
I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
I got to be honest. Normally, I'm the master of public relations and PR, but this one I would not have caught. With the history.
Yeah, I don't think I would have caught that one either. Now, what did you think? Were you I think I saw you say last night, you were a fan of the uni combo that the Cowboys were rocking?
Oh, yeah, I love those uniforms.
The white helmets, I love them.
I love the white helmet. I want to see it paired up with, like, some of the navy a little bit more. I don't like the total, like, almost whiteout look as much, but I think the white helmet with some more navy would look really good. All right, so the Cowboys won that game last night, but it doesn't cover over all the issues that they're dealing with. They fixed a lot of different things. We talked about the run defense was better. I think the running game itself on the offensive side was improved. The offense got off to a better start. That's all good stuff. So what is still a problem? What coming out of last night do you still look at and say there was nothing that was better about that, or maybe it was even a little worse? So physicality is still a big issue for them, I think. They've got an entire secondary, it feels like, who doesn't like making contact with people. Jordan Lewis does. I will always defend Jordan Lewis. But Trayvon Diggs, not a big fan of it. Andrew Booth wasn't.
You're weird for that.
Yeah. Malik Hooker, I don't know why he just refuses to wrap up tight. He throws his shoulder. I'm always convinced he's going to hurt his shoulder tackling somebody.
I had a star down for Malik had a dropped interception in the second quarter that people didn't talk enough about. He should have caught that.
Broadus was sitting here going like, how did he not? He's like, did they show a replay? He's like, how did he miss that? I thought that was in his hands.
The Donovan Wilson missed fourth and one. That was a crucial moment. This team just does, they do nothing in the crucial moments, whether it's a penalty. If it's first and goal, like just bet. If you can lie bet the Cowboys committing a penalty back up 10 yards and shoot themselves in Brandon Aubrey's foot, do it. But that was a crucial moment in the game. It's 14-6. Midfield, Donovan Wilson, point blank right there at Singletary. You get a stop, you get a few more yards, and it's a two-score game with an Aubrey field goal. Just like that. Those little small things, they never capitalize on. Donovan Wilson missed. Malik Hooker missed. Go ahead.
Yeah, the physicality issue of it, it's...
Diggs, he don't look like he ever wants to tackle, like you said.
They got guys who, they engage in blocks and then they can't get off of the blocks, or they'll do their best to just run around the block because they don't want to try and, you know, get into that point of attack and then try and shed
the Booth blocker. Was making contact with the ground because of the slip and slide out there, or him getting torched, neighbors putting it on him.
Yeah, I don't know if that was clumsy footwork or just a slick field because, yeah, he was getting absolutely worked out there in the open field and just tripping over himself. Now, this one might be connected to the physicality issue, but I think at this point you have to say the Cowboys are fundamentally just a bad tackling football team. They don't do it. The angles are bad. The form is really bad when you talk about guys like, I said, Hooker, where he's just kind of throwing himself into the... There were two different times he kind of threw his shoulder into a guy and bounced off him and they picked up more. The finish is not good. It's been a consistent problem in every game except Cleveland. Cleveland, they tackled pretty well for the most part.
They did just about everything well in that Cleveland game.
Yeah.
Look, let's just cut to the chase. We grade Dak Prescott and we go, okay, maximum B+ or that. We grade every week. We're pretty much on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
This is at most an above average football team.
Mm-hmm.
And probably average. They're average to above average. Above average is their ceiling. I feel confident in saying that.
Yeah, they would have to go on a pretty cool run in the playoffs.
Cool.
Tubular. To like, you know, and look, and we've seen, it's wild. We've seen literally every other team in the NFC except for like Washington do this in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
But there are teams out there that aren't great.
And it's, you're right.
But
the
they,
top of the NFC is susceptible. But this team is not. What did last night change? The most interesting thing that I would listen to from what are we calling your segment now? From
below
Peyton?
The belt.
Oh yeah, post hut clarity.
Yeah, from you, from Broadus, Love of the Star. I would listen to how you're going to convince me that the run defense fixed and solved some things last night, even though it was against the Giants. That's it. This offense is not explosive. They're boring. They're predictable. They're always short of the chains. You're not going to convince me that Rico Dowdle in the run game is fixed. Well, what do you guys have? If you had to buy some stock from last night in the Cowboys run game or their run defense, what would you buy more of?
Run
if
game.
You had to. Run game?
Well, from the standpoint that the offensive line generally is still making them holes, giving them holes. They're just not hitting them. The run defense.
Based upon the numbers, the analytics.
Yeah. The run defense, I mean, they got bullied the last 2 weeks.
Well,
now, this week they did well, but how much of that is the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in certain guys. Like, I believe in Overshown to be a good run defender. That's why Baltimore was so disappointed. When he played as bad as he did against Baltimore, that was disappointing. But they were good last night. I don't know that they're going to consistently get to their spots or not get bullied. While it was good, I don't know that I can trust that. So,
like, did Zim dumb it down? Were they more...
They were seeing it quicker. The linebackers looked like they were seeing it quicker. And when Mozzie's playing the way he was on the interior, that's going to be a massive boost. So that's a bigger question. Can the Cowboys be a just, you got to respect the possibility that they'll run type of running game? Can they get to that? Yeah, that I think they can be close to that or better in their run offense that they were last night. So probably the run offense is what I'd say. Now, something Zach brought up last night, we were talking about the way that they played and how they're an above average team as their absolute ceiling. Zach was sitting here and he was saying, How many teams left on their schedule do you think they beat if they play like this tonight? And I was looking down, I was trying to go through it, and I think it's probably just Carolina.
One?
Carolina, yeah. If you play that game last night that you did, you've got Pittsburgh, Detroit, San Francisco, Atlanta.
We got the Giants again.
Got the Giants again.
I think you could beat Pittsburgh. They don't scare me.
Zach is at the point where he thinks that Washington is a better football team than Dallas.
You know what? I'll say three. I'll say three more wins, splitting one with the Commanders. And that performance last night beats the Panthers and it beats the Giants. Excuse me.
Yeah. And I think it beats Washington at home.
Yeah.
Fine, split
against Washington. Couple other things here. Other than the opening game against Cleveland, Dallas has not gotten consistent pressure on the quarterback at all. And so last night, it's like, okay, they come in here. Let's see what they're able to do.
What do y'all grade in Micah, by the way? Micah was catching a lot of heat, but I feel like when I was watching the replays, you know, Herb Street's trying to do all the packages, I felt like he was there and he was playing real hard. And they just give him a lot of attention.
He seemed really banged up early. Like when before he had the neck issue where they're like, they called him off the field. Yeah. Brian and I were talking about five plays before that or something. He was like hobbling going down the field. Like I think he was just hurt. That short week was not good for him. And so,
like, I think he's going to grade out pretty well. That's going to be my guess.
Yeah. And I
don't think he had a bad game at all.
And for me, the way that now he only had one pressure through three quarters or three and a half quarters or whatever it was. For me, I think I look at Micah and say, even with the grade, I'm probably going to grade it on a curve too and say, I think he was pretty banged up, so I'll probably grade him even better.
Though they did put out the stat, one pressure versus Andrew Thomas in 14 attempts, 1 in 14. Was Andrew Thomas the one he faced last year when he got zero sacks and pouted even after they got a win?
Yeah,
that was the Giants game.
Yeah, Thomas was on there then, so he was obviously moved around the formation a couple different times, but Thomas was one of the guys he was going up against pretty consistently. And so he is somebody who Thomas is a top pick. He's one of the ones who's hitting. He's still struggling coming
fourth,
along a little
right?
bit. Yeah. Now, the last one here, I don't know what's happening with Brandon Cooks. There's going to have to be a real come to Jesus meeting on what are we doing here.
Come to Easterby.
Yeah, because we were in here just kicking around some stuff earlier. It's like, hey, as you look ahead of where this team is right now, what are you saying are some of the top needs for this team heading into next season? As you're just kind of evaluating where your roster's at right now. And that receiver, too, is probably going to be really high up there.
If anything happens to CeeDee Lamb, this team is picking top five.
We're debating, are we playing Travis Hunter on defense or offense? That's what happens if you miss CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Like CeeDee Lamb.
Playing him on defense if you listen to Richard Sherman.
CeeDee Lamb is everything. Like everything to just below Dak in terms of most valuable player, and only because Dak's the quarterback. That's it. It is force feed CeeDee Lamb, and that's it with a little bit of Ferg. All right, back to the Cowboys and Nick Eamon at 9:20. That was Below the Belt here on 105.3 The Fan. Who needs it more around the rest of the NFL? And let's see if Choppy can make you some pigskin money with his degenerate football picks after this. Well,